The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good morning. Welcome to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel, the show that will take you through the ever-changing world of investing for a profit. Now here's the host of Magna Investing, Jordan Kimmel.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. We have a pretty busy show lined up today. We have a couple of key guests that I wanted to bring on and find out more about what they're doing. Specifically, a quarter after the hour, we're going to bring on Andrew McKeenan. And Andrew over at Carbon Rational is doing something very, very important and holding a great conference in New York City next week, and I'm going to give him a chance to kind of highlight it and profile what to expect. Last year I went there. It was a really premier event with just tremendous people. Again, what Carbon Rational is all about, it kind of dives into what we talk about. It's not only company success levels, it's how companies are achieving their success levels. And more so, and this is something I talk quite a lot about through Trust Across America. And if you haven't been to that site, folks, go over to trustacrossamerica.com. And there we're talking about actually trying to help rebuild the confidence in businesses and the way they do things. And what Andrew clearly understands is very simple. Either we consume more wisely, or we're actually going to consume ourselves. And unfortunately, there's certain lessons that I think sometimes the public, governments, administrations around the world don't quite get it until crisis breaks out, until again there's another high profile event that forces people to think longer term. I just recognize what Andrew's doing. We'll talk about that quarter after the hour. And then half past the hour, we're going to bring on Nicholas Webb talking about some innovation topics. But the fact of the matter is, the first part of the time, I always want to spend a little time looking at what's going on with Magnet, what's going on over here, both for me here at T3 Live and over at Trust Across America. And the fact of the matter is, I've said this all along, I've been very, very consistent, and the videos that I tape basically every single day here are up on our server. By the way, tomorrow, or I should say later on this afternoon, over at T3Live.com, we're going to have Sam Stovall visit. He's the chief market strategist over at S&P. On the equity side, I think he's one of the great market historians. We'll talk about one of his books, The Seven Rules of Wall Street. Great read, short read. You should take a look at it. But the video I do with him will be streamed live at 2 p.m. Eastern time, and then what we'll do from there is leave it up on the server. Frankly, this marketplace and the news that seems to be coming out of the media, I call it white noise at this point. They're just confusion. And basically the message is stay tuned for the next economic number because you can't live without it. And again, when you get to that level of short-termism and the public itself, first of all, doesn't believe in companies right now. They don't believe in businesses. And why do I say that? I say that simply because the global economy is actually rocking and rolling. And we got to a point where we exceeded all the 07 levels, whether it's tonnage shipped, whether it's earnings from the S&P. You basically name it, corporate earnings. But the fact is, people are sitting in sub 1% money markets. I actually heard it again today. I think that the Treasury bills are being auctioned off at 0.000, which means people are not being paid to hold their money. They're just simply being left to store it in an area where inflation just keeps coming along. And while we hear this, no inflation, folks, you know it's my belief in this world, if you want to combat inflation, if you want to actually preserve your purchasing power through investing, you have to own something. And if you lend out your money and you're lending it at 14 and 15 and 16%, and by the way, you're getting paid back, that's a wonderful investment. By the way, maybe not such a great investment. I see at this stage the Greece bonds are trading with a 95% yield. So it might make good commemorative paper, but anyone who understands the market, it's a foregone conclusion. Those bonds are basically worthless. And the key is, if you're going to own something, well, what are you going to own? That's really what the key to what I've done for 20 years. My belief is that I don't actually want to make a huge investment, build a plant, buy a storefront, pay rent, and hope someone walks in my store and buys something. And if I'm in the wrong business, I'm out of luck, my capital's been invested, and I'm sunk. What I would prefer to do is to kind of have a diagnostic tool, which was I could wave around like a Geiger counter and say, hey, by the way, which industries are actually experiencing pricing power? Where are margins the strongest? I could ask another question. Inside those industries, is there truly a market leader? And is there a company that's dominating their business? And forget about that for a moment. I can go all the way from the bottom up, which is what my computer asks. Is please identify those companies with the highest acceleration in cash flow, and by the way, 19 other metrics that are measured, and then we rank the public companies. Now, one thing I will share with you is the only reason the S&P and the Dow can go up long-term and have gone up long-term is they continue to change the components inside the index. And I remind you, if they didn't do that, the Dow Jones would be trading around 25 and it would have 18 railroads in it and would not be indicative of anything to do with the United States economy. But instead of that, what we're told as investors is be long-term, buy and hold. And, you know, if you're buying and holding the indexes, you have teams that are weeding out the weak companies, those industries that are losing their way, those companies that are losing their way, and they simply replace them with new companies that have emerged. And basically, nearly of the 500 companies that are in the S&P, almost none of them were in the original S&P that was created only 35 some odd years ago. So the whole point I'm trying to get at, folks, to you is to think in terms of having companies in your portfolio like an athlete and a sports team. So a sports team knows what they need to fill out to build a portfolio, but the sad news is that no athletes live forever. None of them can contain or maintain a standard of performance that you'd buy and hold an athlete. You'd actually need to replace them as they get older, as they wear out, as they mature. Maybe they become coaches, maybe they become sportscasters, but there's a lot of host of names from when I was a young kid. I love the New York Yankees. I would not want them to have Mickey Mantle in the lineup. Mickey Mantle's not alive anymore, okay? These are the things we talk about. So through this diagnostic tool that we're calling GEMS over here at T3 Live, we rebranded the magnet name so we could share it over here with T3 Live. But frankly, these are the fastest growing, healthiest companies selling at a discount and still going up in price. There's another approach which I started sharing almost 2.5 years ago already, when we started talking about the most trustworthy companies in America. And these are companies a little bit larger that all are ranked independently by other sources in terms of how transparent is their business, how sustainable is their business, how transparent and aggressive is their accounting procedures, what does their corporate governance look like, does the CEO vote on his own salary. You know, maybe we have as many as 250 data points all rolled up into a score which can we can compare to market cap and sector and ask the question, which companies do the public really, really trust? And if you want to be a longer term investor and really soak up compounding returns, I think you stick with the most trustworthy companies until they're not trustworthy anymore. And how does a company not get trustworthy? Well, a lot of times it's a change in management, but also I have to remind you, in the case of business, when thriving companies suddenly see their cash flow go negative and suddenly their business model falls apart, you see these very nice individuals sometimes get feet of clay and start to do things that you wouldn't approve of with your money. And frankly, one of the strengths of the companies in the new model we're looking at called FACTS is these companies actually have to be financially secure. They have to be strength and stability of cash flow, and then they actually have the time to think out the box and ask themselves the question, are they actually polluting their community to where the point their employees are getting sick? Are they actually not thinking along a sustainable line? And I think that one of the things that Andrew is going to talk about next with his Carbon Rational organization and the thought they're giving out there is there are companies making tremendous strides in this area already. The problem remains, I believe, with a media that is hell-bent on finding fires and murders and wrongdoings. We only basically hear about the companies that are corporate offenders. If someone misses a payroll, if somebody misappropriates money, if somebody has a huge oil spill, these are the things that attracts the media. And someone reminded me many, many years ago, interesting guy, he said he actually was in the media many years ago, and of the hundreds of millions of tons per day that get delivered correctly through railroads every single day, that's not reported. If a train happens to go off the tracks, boy, the media will come from hundreds of miles around to get a quick picture of that. That's what the media is about. That's not what the whole world is about. But following this quick break, I'm excited to have Andrew McKeenan back on from Carbon Rational. He'll talk about his conference that's going on in New York City next week. It's usually star-studded with some celebrities, but more importantly, thought leaders who have it right. We'll talk about this with Andrew when we get back, find out all the details of the conference. In the meantime, let's go on hold for just a minute here. We'll let our sponsors step in. We'll be right back with Andrew McKeenan, Carbon Rational, right after this quick break.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Are you tired of the government squandering your tax dollars on bailouts and overpaid bureaucrats? On Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Mike Beitler and his guests explain why big government regulations are the problem and innovative businesses and free markets are the solution. Listen to Free Markets with Dr. Mike Beitler, Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Network.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magna Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guests, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magna Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back one more time to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And folks, all around the country, people are talking about how business is done. Is it sustainable? Probably the premier, one of the best conferences I was at last year was the Business Climate 2010 hosted by Andrew McKinnon. Good news, folks. Next week is Business Climate 2011. I've asked Andrew to come back on the show, talk about what's planned for Monday and Tuesday of next week in New York City. Welcome back on the show, Andrew.
Jordan, it's great to be back, and thank you for having me.
All right, and look, we only have one segment. I really want to focus on your conference. It was really a wonderful conference last year. The quality of the speakers, the quality of the actual folks attending was on a very high level. I'd love you to share, if you could, maybe just a couple minutes of what business climate your firm is really all about, and then spend some time, tell us what you have planned for everybody this coming Monday and Tuesday in New York City.
Great. I'd love to. I think, you know, one of the things that people think about when they think about sustainability is corporate social responsibility and doing good. And I think the point of our conference is that sustainability is about being a global competitor in the 21st century. It's about understanding the drivers and the problems of the 21st century, and that the companies that get it and know how to address those are going to be the ones that are going to be the fierce global competitors. So that's really what it's about. It's about business and climate change. So it's the climate of business and the business of climate.
Well, fantastic. But let's go a little further on that, because, Andrew, people get caught up in the real short term. Is the economy 0.01 or 0.02 up or down? And the real
exactly.
thing we know is business cycles come and go. The global population is growing. The consumption is growing. We have to figure out how to consume more without consuming ourselves. And like you say, there's a lot of thought leaders and companies pretty far down the road already. I know you're going to help them get further. But talk to us maybe about Business Climate 2011, maybe some of the speakers that are planned,
yeah.
some of the topics for the conferences that are, you know, the roundtables that are planned, because mm-hmm. I know you really do attract some premier speakers.
We have this year, I'm humbled by the speakers that we have. We have global leaders in areas of technology. We have David Bartlett from IBM. We have John Fullerton from the Capital Institute. We have Mark Fulton from Deutsche Bank, Zachary Carabel. Joel McCower, who's the founder of Green Biz, is going to be with us. And then former president of Costa Rica, Jose Maria Figueres, who was the first head of state to put a price on carbon in his country. And it's been a huge success to their economy over the last 15 years. And President Figueres will be there as the head of the Carbon War Room. So we couldn't ask for greater people. Clay Nessler of Johnson Controls is a big supporter of ours. We have Merrill Lynch, Bank of America Merrill Lynch there. And the reason why they're attracted to this is because they understand this message of sustainability as being big business in the 21st century. So what we've been able to do is create a two-day event. We're going to launch at the Empire State Building on Monday evening with a VIP cocktail. It's going to be, we've been donated the entire 61st floor of the Empire State Building. So, and I just looked at the weather report, Jordan, and it looks like
yeah.
clear weather for Monday evening.
Beautiful.
It's going to be spectacular. And the Empire State Building is a great place to launch, because even though it's an 80-year-old building, it's become an icon of energy efficiency and of reduced carbon emissions through an investment they made over the last 3 years, an investment of, it was a $500 million retrofit, yet only $20 million of that was dedicated to making the building more energy efficient. So on a $20 million extra investment, they're saving almost $5 million a year on energy. So it's saving them a lot of money, it's reducing their emissions, and it's also creating an icon for the world to say, you know, we can take these old buildings and the old built environment and we can convert them into much more efficient buildings. And the other thing it does is it creates an expectation for others to look at and say, if they can do it, we can do it too. And that idea of creating expectations that drive investment that leads to innovation is really at the heart of what business climate is all about. Expectation driving investment leading to innovation.
Right. And, you know, I remembered, you know, from last year, your opening speech. I think that is so important. The question really is, what are the incentives and what is the business model to create that? And then what's actually the ultimate reward? And, you know, clearly we all want to do good, but I think companies understand they need to be profitable. But I think your message and what you're saying is so important. And, you know, even people talk about where jobs are going to come from. Well, retrofitting all these buildings in the United States in all these cities, I think your point about using the Empire Statement Bill as a statement to share what they've done is actually a wonderful thing. And share with us, too, so Monday's kind of a cocktail hour and a networking opportunity. Monday,
networking opportunity, all the speakers will be there. It's just going to be a great way to kick off this event. And then we start on Tuesday morning at 8:30 at the PwC headquarters. And we've got some great roundtables that are going to be a part of this. We're going to start with what happened to regulation and understand what the arc of regulation has been over the last 30 years on this issue, where it's been, where it is today. A lot of people don't think we have carbon regulation in the U.S. We actually do have carbon regulation in some areas, such as the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is the area of the Northeast. There is actual carbon regulation on greenhouse gases from emissions of utilities. So we'll talk about what we're doing now, and then what do these leaders, we have the head of the NRDC there, we have the head of Deutsche Bank's climate change advisors there, we have the head of the Carbon Disclosure Project there, and we have the head of the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, all talking about where they see regulation going. So I think that's going to be really important. Then we're going to follow up. The next panel is going to be run by Joel McCower, who's the chairman and executive editor of GreenBiz. And he's going to be doing a panel on the convergence of technologies in the smart economy, how the built environment and transportation are all being sort of geared by technologies that are coming together. I mean, and one thing is you look at your telephone today, and your telephone is an example of the convergence of these technologies coming together. So that's going to be very exciting. On that panel, we have the head of GE's EcoMagination. We have the head of a company called Better Place, which is looking at electric cars and creating a network of electric cars where you don't have to charge the car. You just go to a battery station and you zip out the old batteries into the new. And this is taking off in island countries. It's taking off in places like Hawaii and in places like Israel where they have a problem with oil and so on. This Better Place model for electric cars is working. We're also going to have our friends at Johnson Controls and our friends at IBM on that. Then we're going to move into, in the afternoon, a discussion of what's going on with distributed generation, which means, you know, solar and wind and how that's financed. And Merrill Lynch has announced that they're going to be funding up to $2.5 billion in this, which is a game-changing level of investment in distributed generation. If this plan that they have goes through over the next 3 years, it will almost double the amount of solar energy in the United States. So this is big-time investment in distributed generation, and Merrill Lynch is there. We're going to have the U.S. Department of Energy's head of the Loan Program Office there. We're going to have someone from a company called Prologis, who's actually using their roof footprint around the country for the location for these solar panels. And we're going to be moderated by Jigar Shah, who's the CEO of the Carbon Movement War Room, and who basically invented the process for financing solar energy over the last half decade. And then proceeding with the power of co-creation, which is looking at how businesses are thriving by, instead of creating sort of these siloed areas within which there's no communication, co-creation is becoming a real mechanism for companies to actually become much more innovative. And this is very much related to sustainability. And then one thing you might, your listeners might be interested in is we're going to have a talk from a chocolate company in Brooklyn where they actually ship their cocoa from the Caribbean up to Brooklyn on a sailing ship. And it's the last, the first time since 1939 that cargo has been shipped into the New York City Harbor on a sailing ship. And they did this because they're really tuned into sustainability and what their future is about, but they're also tuned into their work as artists. I mean, they see management as art and running a business as an art, and certainly you need to be profitable. But profit is the outcome from doing things that people want. I mean, it's sort of silly to have to say it. Most people don't think of profit as an outcome. They think of it as the aim of business. But if it's seen as the outcome where the aim is something else, the aim is providing goods and services and doing what people really want and doing it well, your reward is profit. And that's how they see it. And they see this new way of shipping cargo as a way of being aligned with their total vision for the company. These people now, this company called Mast Brothers Chocolate, is now selling chocolate to the most exclusive restaurants in New York and has also been to the White House and had chocolate served there. So they've become very successful. We finish the event with a talk about a new economics. Do we need a new economics? Right now, our economics is based on a model that's about 250 years old, and it's about infinite supply and infinite sink. We're always going to be able to get more stuff, and we're always going to be able to put it somewhere. Do we need a new economics that says, well, there's actually limits to supply, and there's actually limits to sinks? And if we understand those limits, can we create a more thriving economy around those limits? And so I think we're going to have a very powerful day. I think it's going to be very exciting for all attendees. And if you want to go,
there's no question about this. One thing we're going to leave out, we're going to hit the bottom of the hour. Before they play any music, listen, I got to say this. I am really looking forward. I'm going to try to join the cocktail hour, too. But before we do anything else, Andrew, we're leaving one thing out. And our listeners are pretty smart. They know how to Google. But let's make it easy for them and how to find the event.
Very good. BusinessClimate2011.com/buy-tickets if they want to come to this event. BusinessClimate2011.com/buy-tickets. It'll take them right to the interface. They can either come to the cocktail if they want to, they can come just on Tuesday, or they can come to both.
Right. And let me just, you know, repeat. I was over there last year, and sometimes I'll go to a conference, I'll listen to a speaker, and go on my way. I spent the full day there. I thought the quality of both the speakers and the attendees, and it also, by the way, Andrew, congratulations, it also ran like clockwork.
Yeah, I think I've been very lucky with the team we have. And also, I have to say, you know, last year we had Richard Branson, and that was terrific to have him as sort of our anchor. And this year, I think the people that we have from the business industry are, these are the leaders. These are global leaders in their area. And for them to come and want to be a part of this just shows you, you know, how much last year's event created interest on the part of these leaders. So I'm very, very excited about it.
Me as well. And also, I want to mention one other thing before we go to the break here, Andrew. One of the things that I deeply believe is that the folks that really do get it right, even in this incredibly highly competitive world we live, they're willing and happy to share in their best practices. And if one of the things that they'll do in Johnson Controls can actually extend into other companies, in other industries, and folks like yourself who are really just committed to making a difference and doing business the right way. My hat's off to you. I'm right behind you, and I'm really glad you got a chance to join us on the show to talk about it. Folks, once again, it's businessclimate2000.com.
2011. Businessclimate2011.
What did I say, 10?
No, you said 2000.
2011, and then remember, it's buy tickets, folks. The money you're spending is worth more than worthwhile, the group, the guests. So, Andrew, I'm looking forward to joining you. Maybe one last closing word from you, and I appreciate your time.
We look forward to seeing everyone on Monday. The weather's supposed to be great. The views from the Empire State Building are going to be spectacular, and the people you're going to meet, all the speakers will be there, is going to be well worth your time.
Right. Well, I tell you from my side, folks, you'll see me there, too. You'll see Andrew. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous feat to put this together. I think it's going to be a wonderful event. I hope our listeners have the time and make the time to come and join you there. I'll see you there, and thanks so much for sharing the thoughts and ideas today on the show.
Thank you, Jordan. I look forward to seeing you next week.
I appreciate that. And, folks, we do need a quick break. I'm really glad we got Andrew on. It's businessclimate2011.com. It really is a premier event in New York City. I hope to see you there. I'll see you on the other side of the break. Let's give the sponsors some room here. We'll be right back with more Magnet Investing following the quick break.
Markets up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety. These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy, and fit. The Voice America Health and Wellness Network is here to help you on your quest to better health and a better you. We talk about everything from diet, fitness, and aging to substance abuse, personal growth, mental health, and much more. Learn from our experts who cover health and wellness from traditional and holistic perspectives. Tune in to the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. Healthy living starts here.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back to Magnet Investing with me, your host, Jordan Kimmel. And for years, I talk about business cycles come and go, but there's always new things going on. There's innovation that's going on, and the technological changes that take place around the world will not slow down. So I think it's a perfect time right now. We're going to bring on Nicholas Webb. He's the author of a book that just came out from John Wiley's Publishing. It's the Digital Innovation Playbook. And Nicholas, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to have you with us, Nicholas. What I'd love to do, obviously we're going to get into the meat of the Digital Innovation Playbook, but before we do that, share with the listeners a little bit more about yourself and how you got to this expertise to be able to write this book.
Sure. Well, I started out about 20 years ago, early on in my life, as a product developer. I invented one of the world's smallest micro-silicone implants, and which was a tremendous hit, and went on to develop several other medical technologies that we started companies around. And then after I sold my company early on in my 20s, I started the process of providing innovation management consulting services to a wide range of industries. And so I have a unique perspective in that I've been awarded over 35 patents by the U.S. Patent Office for technologies that generate tens of millions of dollars a year in revenue, but I also have, you know, the discipline as a management consultant to see, you know, how do we take this unruly thing of innovation and bring it into an enterprise. And when I wrote my first book for Wiley, The Innovation Playbook, I begin to see this interesting, extremely exciting, and very important phenomenon occurring. In fact, it didn't even really have a name. Some people were calling it social innovation. Some people were referring to it as different forms of social media innovation and media innovation. And I just literally took 16 months off my practice to research this because it was so much data and it was just overwhelming. And I got to tell you, I came out the other end of this process a completely different person.
Wow.
Because at 53, working with some of the largest corporations in the world, I see now very clearly what the trajectory looks like. And I would say that when people are looking at the financial viability of a business, the stability of the business, the growth trajectory of any business, they cannot ignore the fact that all the value within that business is created as a result of being able to make active observations about their customer communities and to transmute those observations into value.
Hmm.
The thing that's amazing about digital innovation is that for the last three decades, we have created a digital gridwork. And unfortunately, most organizations are working on the old-fashioned TV generation where we can buy as much one-way simplex dialogue as we want, and we get to rule the day. So as they transitioned into the digital grid work, what they were attempting to do is to use that same mentality of propaganda distribution via simplex dialogue. And those companies are failing.
Right.
What we're discovering now is that the real power of the Internet and the real power of Enterprise 2.0 is our ability to tap into the collective intelligence of these digital grid frameworks to understand how to reduce product failures, how to identify trends prior to the competition, how to increase profitability, how to fast-track technologies to market, how to create layered value through this exciting new trend of what's called the gamification of innovation.
Hmm.
So there's so many amazing things that, you know, at 53 years of age, I want to start forgetting things. I don't want to learn anything else, right?
That's amazing. Now, Nicholas, what you're saying is really on a, you know, it was very clearly said, but I think it would help the listeners if we actually dug a little bit into maybe some examples of some companies that are really successful in this new digital innovation world we live in.
Well, I think one good example that's not very conspicuous is Kodak. I mean, Kodak is, by many people's opinion, an old-fashioned company that missed the digital boat. But in fact, I believe that Kodak is one of the most digitally connected companies on the planet. And what they did, and what, to their credit, is they were the first company, to my knowledge, to hire a chief listening officer.
Wow.
When I talk to people about chief listening officers, they gasp. But believe me, if you research the 800 companies that I did, and you look at the success signals, you realize that it is about listening. And for one example is that they were so connected to their customer communities through digital networks and by using a variety of tools to monitor the digital ether, they identified that everybody was talking about their competition, which was the flip video camera. And they were saying, we love the camera, we hate the fact that there's no audio in jack. It's a simple thing. But they listened, and they quickly transmuted that observation into an input jack at last year's Consumer Electronics Show, and as a result of it, they got to rule the day. So the profitability and the ability to go to trade shows and show up with the leading technologies that's truly connected to your customer community is amazing. The U.S. Army, for an example, is one of the case examples. The U.S. Army was desperately trying to recruit soldiers. And the problem was is that their value proposition is, how would you like to make not very much money, live in mediocre living conditions, and, oh, by the way, you could die.
Hmm.
So needless to say, they were having a hard time getting people to sign up. It was a major problem. They realized that they needed to connect not in an authoritarian way but in a participatory way by starting ArmyStrongStories.com. Once they did that and they began to create a community around the U.S. Army, potential recruits begin to listen in to what it really was like, to what the experience of being in the Army was like, not from them, but from other soldiers. As a result of that digital initiative, today the U.S. Army turns down 90% of the people who want to enlist.
You're kidding. I had no idea about that.
And, I, you know, if you take a look at things like Southwest Airlines, rewards program. That's using the gamification of innovation to drive incentives, to drive collaboration, to drive competition, to monitor progress through the game. And they have created Nuts About Southwest Airlines, where they have essentially created a fan club. Southwest Airlines invents nothing. What they do is they listen in to their customer communities, and their customer communities provide them millions of dollars with a free consulting every year, telling them exactly what they want that experience to be. They transport those observations into things and services and products and deliveries, and they, again, get to rule the day. And
right.
There are thousands of examples of how this is working.
Right. So, I mean, what you're really saying in a nutshell, what I'm hearing is, you know, the old command to control will tell you what color you want your car. We will tell you how loose you want your jeans is a thing of the past. And really the companies that are the most successful are setting up ways to listen and to communicate and then simply provide what the public needs and wants the most.
Right, because if, you know, what it's funny to me, I'll go to a trade show, as I'm sure you have many times, and you walk through a trade show, every tagline says, you know, amalgamated corporation, leaders in innovation. But if you interview those the people that work there, none of them even know what the word innovation means. And what it's important to understand is what is innovation and why is it one of the most talked about subjects in business today? And the definition of innovation that I have come up with after doing this for over two decades and looking at the people who really rule at this is that it is the process of delivering exceptional value through active listening. In a digitally connected world where your customer now owns the message, if you're mediocre, you're done. What's even worse, though, if you're at the baseline level of expectation, take Kindle for an example. Kindle is exactly what people want. It's a great tool to be able to read books. It has great battery life. It's a wonderful technology. The problem is, it's what people want. In a digitally connected world, that creates an opportunistic environment for somebody to deliver layered value and dynamic value. And as a result of that, Apple created an exceptional value in the iPad. It's dynamic in that every single day the iPad has more value to you because of their open approach towards app development. The other thing is that it's layered value in that it does many, many, many things that are connected to how people live. There is a new trend in business today called digital ethnography. And digital ethnography is an important part of this whole message. It used to be through focus groups and voice of the customer methods and CRM methodologies that we would go out and try to understand what people think. But I know that when my wife says the trash is full, she's not just making a benign observation. What she feels is, take out the trash.
There's a request there, yep.
Right. So we as companies who are going to rule the market under hyper-competition, we need to know how to understand people, not at their voice, not at what they're saying, which is the old-fashioned way that people have done this. We have to understand people at that level of core world belief, and that's that soul of the customer. Companies that are doing this routinely, and there are several companies, they are winning. I mean, Apple, there's another piece to this. Most companies are developing and delivering fractional value. If you look at the Apple Store, for example, when you walk in the Apple Store, you never get sold anything. You become part of a religious order. You listen to somebody who's sharing their enthusiasm. They're not selling you anything. That's the first, what we call the first contact point. We know that when people first touch us in any way, whether it's our digital presence, our store presence, whatever it is, that first touch is heavily weighted and it has to be exceptional. But then we go into the experience cloud. Do you know that 80% of the people who buy an Apple product keep their box for over 6 months?
And why is that?
The reason is that Steve Jobs knows that he's not in the product business. He's not in the technology business. He absolutely is not. He is in the experience business. We are visceral beings, and that the experience throughout this entire cycle has to be delicious. And so when you buy that product, there are two stark things that happen. First, you have a Tiffany box that is communicating to you in an emotive way that this product is exceptional. But then when you open it up, it's not what's in the box that's magic. It's what's not in the box, and that's a 900-page manual of how to make the bloody thing work.
Wow.
So the key is that we have to be exceptional. We have to do it throughout the innovation cycle, and the only way we get there is through active listening and observation.
Right. No, Nicholas, it's a very powerful story, and it's Nicholas Webb, the Digital Innovation Playbook, and to me, it sounds like you're a reborn 53-year-old and having a ton of fun doing it.
Absolutely.
And for everybody out there, John Wiley is the publisher, one of the great publishers out there. I'm sure it's in all the bookstores. I'm sure it's on all the online places. Nicholas Webb, the Digital Innovation Playbook. Nicholas, thanks for taking the time out and talking to us.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All righty, folks. We do need a quick break. That's a great story, folks. It's the Digital Innovation Playbook, Nicholas Webb. We'll be right back with more Magnet Investing following this quick break.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Listen for Trust Across America every week on the Voice America Variety Channel. Tune in as host Jordan Kimmel is joined by national experts in the fields of accounting, finance, organizational behavior, and sustainability, as well as companies that are applying strategies that are enabling them to be recognized as doing the right thing by the American Trust Awards. Your host, Jordan Kimmel, is himself a trusted professional with years of experience in applying strategies and consulting with today's leading firms. Trust Across America is heard Wednesdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network. Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. Drawing on resources from wellness communities throughout America and abroad, the show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Wellness Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network. From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. If you would like to call in with a question or comment for Jordan or his guest, dial toll-free at 866-472-5790. Once again, that number is 866-472-5790. Let's get back to another segment of Magnet Investing. Here's Jordan Kimmel.
And welcome back, everybody, to Magnet Investing. And I have to tell you, you know, we have two different guests thinking about completely different things, and I think that Nicholas Webb's message on companies that listen to what their clients want and may want is clearly the key. I think what Andrew McKeenan is talking about is something just as powerful, the concept that we actually will not have a planet to live in unless we could actually responsibly consume more and consume what we're doing in the right way. And you know what? When I think about the market itself, what confuses me is maybe how simplistic or how lame the media has gotten in terms of just trying to barrage people with one story after another. And sometimes stories are really important and really powerful, and all of a sudden the story's just done, and they move on to the next thing, and then the next thing, and the next thing. And what I find is happening with the public in the investment side is people literally can't slow down their mind enough, their thoughts enough, or their expectations enough to actually let some good things happen. And so right now priced into this world we live in is states in the United States about to go bankrupt, countries about to go bankrupt, a belief that nobody has any money and everyone's ran out. Well, folks, you know what? When you go to the Business Climate 2011 conference, you will find lots of companies generating literally billions of dollars of free cash flow, thinking far enough ahead to hire people like chief listening officers and chief reputation officers, and understanding that, frankly, how you do business in this world is really just as important as what you do. And I think that the key is, it was always, I was reading something about Barnum and Bailey Circus, and, you know, they always put this sign out, you know, freak show and this and that, and really crazy advertising to make people stimulated. Well, the fact is, in the bottom line, I think what people really want is to be treated with respect. I think people need to understand that there's companies behind their products, that they're not trying to use the weakest materials because they're the least expensive, and they're trying to squeeze the blood out of employees. And there are companies, by the way, like that, and those companies tend not to be around for multi-generations. The only companies that are multi-generational actually get this. And so one of the things that inspired me maybe 3 years ago, right in the beginning of the downturn of the market when trust broke apart the most, was to really take the magnet approach then and marry it with even more variables. And so years and years ago, it seems kind of trivial at this point, but when I wrote my first book, Magnet Investing, the thought of being able to screen for stocks and to combine factors that would attract value, growth, and momentum investors seemed really not novel at the time. People said, you can't mix those things up. It's like someone who likes chocolate and someone who likes vanilla. Well, you know what? If you looked at my belly lately, you could see that I like to actually add a little chocolate with my vanilla. And the fact is, I even like a little strawberry too. But the point here is that the more angles you look at a company, the more facets you look at a company and how they do business, what they do, where they do it, and it goes beyond this thing of quarterly earnings. But you know what? Here it is over 20 years ago, is that possible? 1990, I don't even know. No, it's more like 15 or 16 years ago when I first went on CNBC and said, look, it's so easy to manipulate earnings. Why do you guys still focus on quarterly earnings when they're actually engineered and manufactured? And if you want to understand a company, you actually have to look at other things like profit margins. You have to look at things like cash flow. You have to look at valuations versus cash flow. All these different metrics we created, still the focus is on quarterly earnings. One day we'll get past that, but I think that at the TrustAcrossAmerica.com site, we introduced this new concept, this new acronym called FACTS. And folks, I rolled up my sleeve again. We had a firm on go out to the Morgan Stanleys and the Wachovias of the world and tell the story. And guess what? It actually, sadly, found deaf ears. People were saying, I don't really care about that. I just care about more income. I want to get something now. I need something now. Well, there's going to be a new product that will come out shortly. I have my sleeves rolled up working with some wonderful institutions, wonderful individuals. It's a little early to make any real announcements, but the fact is, I would like it if the trust-based investing is something that I've tried to coin and copyright already. FACTS has already been through the registration process. We are going to combine financials with accounting, with corporate governance, with transparency, with sustainability. It actually pulls a lot together from both of our guests. You have to do things in a sustainable way. You have to do things in a more transparent way. And if you do those things, then just like our guest said, the outcome is going to be profits. And the ones that are the most trustworthy and actually think along these lines actually are going to be the most profitable. Let me say thank you for Andrew McKinnon and to Nicholas Webb for joining us. Folks, the link to this show, send it around, email it to your friends, get them caught up on what Magnet Investing is. And by the way, go over to t3live.com, watch the videos I do there. We'll have a big one later today with Sam Stobel from S&P. Everybody have a great week ahead. Think longer term. And call me, text me, email me if there's any way we could be more helpful to you. To the engineers and to Voice America, thanks again for the great work. We'll see you next week right here on Voice America. Have a wonderful week ahead.
Voice America Business Channel would like to thank you for logging on to Magnet Investing with Jordan Kimmel. Tune in each and every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern Time for another exciting hour of Magnet Investing. Right here on the Bottom Line of Business Talk, the Voice America Business Channel.